Blog Talk Radio.
And I say, blessed in the name of the Most High, Imperial Majesty, Emperor Isles Lassie, Baron the Wall of Babylon and the Bishop of Jerusalem, Oliver Cromwell and his coming, yo.
We have on the fire raiders down in a Babylon. We no come here to be powder nor lotion. Red,
red, red.
We sing the fire hot from a pagan. Because them do we get the drop. Rasta come be burn it raiders down in a Babylon. We no come here to be powder nor lotion. Red,
red, red.
We sing the fire hot from a pagan. Because them do we get the drop. Yow, yow, yow. We come be burn the fire hot. We burn it out the road until it reach in a them yard. Sight up the fire and run go drop in them yard. When them get not from them and we own the devil's bomb yard. But emperor still have the higher aim of him yard. Jehovah Jireh, Jah blessed my lord. While leading a scheme a plan and a truck yard. Rasta now go eat of them cause we done sister them abroad.
Don't you know we keep it hot because it's red, red hot. That's how we peep they spot. And you know we won't stop. You see the way things is going, I don't see my people growing today. You better don't play, I say,
no,
wow,
we are on
wow.
This radar, yeah. Down in a Babylon. We no come here to be powder nor lotion.
Red, red, red.
We sing the fire hot but not pagan. Because they know when this is wrong, we are on the fire radar. Down in a Babylon. We no come here to be powder nor lotion.
Red, red, red.
So come to set a strong foundation. We all
red,
of the young
red.
Lion. Yo, wow. Yo, yo. We come to burn the fire red. Cause over the years them cause so much bloodshed. X amount of refugee of fear back up and a fled. I sleep out in the night, do them can't rest in a them bed. Some of them can't find nothing, much less piece of bread. Yo, starvation out to kill the people, them dead. Dusty Babylon, you put a bow flea or your fled. Emperor still has the bound to push you over.
Yo, and don't you know we keep it hot because it's red, red hot. That's why we peep this spot and you know we won't stop. This is the way things is going, I don't see my people growing today.
Down in a Babylon. We no come here to be powder nor lotion.
Red, red.
We sing the fire hot for a pagan. Because
red
them action is wrong. We are on the fire red. Down in a Babylon. Rasta come to set a strong foundation.
Red,
we no come here to be powder nor lotion. Because
red,
them action
red,
is wrong. Yo, yo, yo. So tell them to sing slow. Cause the Rasta man don't see the way them a go. All the way about them a Uganga so blow. The whole of them a go reap the same seed with them so. All of you way a suck out and all of who way a blow. All who gone up a stage about them a go go. We not seen a better name for a butter John Crow. This fire way a blaze man it not go stop grow. Cause we a burn this radar down in a Babylon. We no come here to be powder nor lotion.
Red, red, red.
We sing the fire hot pan a pagan. Because them doing it is wrong. We are on the fire red. Down in a Vatican. We no come here to be powder nor lotion.
Red, red, red.
We sing the fire hot pan a pagan. Because them action it is wrong.
You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there.
Incorporated, local number 26, with your host, the wonderful Miss Sadie Gomez and the Women's Auxiliary. Let's give them a hand as they come to the mic at this time.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you so very much, Dr. James Winborn, all founder and visionary for this wonderful show. This is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. Local 26 Woman Auxiliary. Yeah, we are coming to you live and alive on this wonderful Sunday evening. I thank you so very much, my wonderful studio audience, who came out to brave the weather and to sit in with us as we journey through the hours that we spent on this platform. It's a wonderful Sunday evening. You know what we do on the side of town? This is where we examine the truths, what's happening. You know, we get under the rug, we lift it up, we examine stuff that is normally hidden under the rug, and sometimes we gently place it back, but for most part, we bring the truth on the side of tongue. We bring you an enlightenment of things that we should really be discussing and not just watch the 6 o'clock news. We try not to do the fancy on the show, but we have a great time. We have a few laughs, but for most part, it's a platform where Ethiopian World Federation, Women Auxiliary, is here to offer and share with all other members of the Federation when that time will come for important issues. We know there's a place we can come, there's a place we can be. So here we are for a brand new year, wishing you all a happy 2024, since it's our first time back on air since the year has begun, and we are so thankful, as I said, for Dr. Winborn and, of course, my often co-host, Dr. Ron Robinson. I hope he's on listening as well. We have such great times on Sundays. And for all the other guests, we really appreciate you coming on. I know the Queen is here at times where we share the topics and deep issues. Wonderful Queen of the Woman Auxiliary. I hope she's present with us tonight as well. And also, what we are seeing and is the 2024 predictions that a lot of people are giving out, and we are hoping for the best. But on this 80 Sunday, you know, we're going to give you the real, and of course, you know, the studio audience are also very brilliant, and they would share with us as well many real issues. So we are seeing in the news what's happening we are seeing worldwide what's happening, and we are wondering within ourselves, what are we going to do? It's such a crucial time right now. It's a time where we really have to get together and understand what it is about collective, what it is about that unity being strength, if not for more important time than now. What other time could we think of but the present? Here we are faced with a year where I am going to say, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to get a little rough and bumpy, but what can we do? It's not only going to be sunshine. The rain is going to fall. Get your umbrellas out. And for most part, it's a beautiful 1-2-3. But look out for April, people. I'm just telling you, I don't want to be the prophet of doom and gloom. It might come a time where you may have to come and anoint your doors just in case, so that whatever is passing can pass over. I'm telling you all, stay in prayer. You know, we do a prayerful City Sundays at time, but for more importantly, 2024, let it be quite a spiritual year for us as a people. We got to even pray for each other, because the weak is among us and will always be. For those who are strong, let us understand what is really going on. There has been a movie that is really exciting and something to stir us up, which we call the Obama movie, but I believe the name of the movie is Leave the World Behind. I was really happy. You know, thank you, Dr. Winborn, for opening my eyes and looking at it. I sat down for 2 hours and 21 minutes and watched every minute of this movie. It was almost like a documentary. It was almost telling us, wake up, people. Something is about to go down. And most times, oftentimes, things are told in movies whereby we know it's something almost like the news. But we decipher throughout all of it. We go through and we understand, overstand, understand, but let us be aware of what is going on in a time like now. Let us be aware, even we are seeing crushing evidence and exposures of the great ones. We would see Hollywood is crumbling. We see some of the prophecies are really coming to pass. And for prophecy's sake, we see some of the ministers, the pastors that are all running crooked. They have been exposed, namely T.D. Jakes. He has been exposed recently. And we are seeing here weeping and gnashing of teeth. It has been told it's a time now where nothing is really hidden. Social media has allowed us to see many things. We had Cat Williams come on, a comedian, but brilliant comedian. I like that guy very much. He often just brings it to you raw and cut. He brings you and is not afraid to tell you what is really going on. And he has exposed Hollywood for most part as part of our conversation for this evening as well. It's been a case where Shay interviewed Cat Williams and he just let off. But more importantly, we are seeing 27 million views on this issue. So a case where a lot of people's eyes are opening to what is really happening in Hollywood. They have known it for quite a while, but it's a case of accepting these facts, that is a very strange place. We invite our studio audience, Dr. Winborn, let me know who is there for this evening.
All right, we have 518-866. Your mic is open. And 347-346. Your mic is open.
Hello, hello.
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 All right.
Happy New Year.
From the sunny side of the world.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Feliz Navidad. Feliz año, felicidad. As we say, we're here on this side of the world. Well, well, well. The first thing that you talked about was, I'm trying to remember now.
Cat Williams.
No, you said the other subject matter before that.
The movie.
Uh-huh.
Right, the movie that Obama had made in there. I found it very interesting and collaborative that in the movie, if I remember correctly, she said, never trust white people.
Yes.
And I find that very interesting coming from Obama. But I find that's a deep, deep subject matter. Think about it. Never trust white people.
Well,
I have nothing against white people. I guess all I've been through in the Jim Crow laws and South Carolina and all the stuff I saw and whatever, I don't have a real trust in them. You know, and I have friends. I have white friends I went to school with, went to college, university, high school. I got friends, like everybody else. I just don't have a particular, and this can happen to anybody. People within your own race can be snakes.
Amen.
And we've seen a lot of snakes in the black race. There's a lot of folks been so discombobulated that your success or whatever you to achieve, they do not want to. You know something? I don't like a whole bunch of people, and I just mentioned one person. I don't know why. Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court justice. I don't have a good taste in my mouth, as the Italians say about him. You know, I don't feel. You know, I think his whole. You know, he took over from Thurgood Marshall. I don't think he ain't no Thurgood Marshall. Trust and believe. But after I saw his life story, I can understand why he's a little disenfranchised. He was a Black Panther. He was a Black civil rights movement person. He was, you know, when he was in college, he was fighting for the Black movement. And things happened where people, where other Black people turned against him, or, you know, situations where some Black people in the movement hurt him. And we all been there, and we all done that. And so he decided that his thing, what was he doing? You know, he said, like, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm doing here, what if I'm doing all these marchings and all these Black Power stuff, and I'm not making no money. And I don't have this degree from Harvard or whatever, and whatever these other universities that had all this money to pay back, and I'm trying to start a family. And so, you know, so he decided that, you know what, I'm going, and this happens because it's a hell of a thing to be in the movement. It's not easy because you can give up a lot, but you can be misconstrued in the movement. And the sister said the other day, she said, you know, I've been in the movement a long time, but I've been frustrated. I've been upset with my own people within the movement that I'm in. And she said, I've been just tired. So people can be very taxing. People,
you
to me,
you think the word is
people.
Taxing? That Black people are
I'm
taxing?
Call it
taxing? You think the word, that's the word? Is that the word? Because I like to know, all these years and people dying and being lynched, when do you wake up to the truth? When do you wake up to how trained most of our leaders who are well-educated are in the system? They sell out. Even if you come to the reservation, why do you think us as Native Americans, you know, it's like you sell out. You don't stick with your own. Everybody didn't come from Africa. All of us was labeled as black. We keep crying about the same thing, but we keep doing the same thing. It got to the point that this same conversation came up. And it's a shame that it has to be a movie to wake you up. It's a shame that you didn't see it in World War I, World War II, or since the World War or any war that they used us. And the only one that's ever told me the truth, even out of anger, was a white person and a black woman. And the white woman was so good to me and told me I'm expendable. A black woman said, you need a privilege to talk to me. Can you see the difference in how our kids are just so frustrated with us lying and lying? This is the year of truth. This is the year of the Bible. This is not about man no more. This is about Christ. You either going to do what you need to do and do the right thing, or don't do it. It's simple. We keep making complications. We've been expendable since this slavery thing started. How is it that you've been in college all your life and you did not know that the main objective of this country was to eliminate all people of color? How is it that when people who didn't even go to college, but they teach people in college how to get along, how to keep peaceful, it's so simple. It's not a hard thing. We make it hard because we still want to be God. Even who goes to a concert with millions of people? You can't even do that for the poor. You won't do it for the poor. You won't even do it for the kids. They just did a shooting. I see people all the time crying the blues. Another child just got beat up, gang beat up by blacks. I sent it to you, Ron. We're disfiguring and killing each other, but yet we want to project we need retribution. From what? Learning slavery? You learned this. It took years for you to be superior and separate each other and know this is the West Indian, this is the black, this is the Nigerian. What the hell? We're one race. We're one Gentile. This is the time of the Bible, as the sister said. You had your chance. All of man had their chance. If white man wanted to get together with a black man, don't you think he would have done it? Don't you think you got so much hell and human trafficking within the black race that are artists and movie stars and singers? How much selling? When white man does it to you, you do it to each other. It's been throughout history. We sit in the tribal meetings and discuss this. When do you wake up? Well, this is no more. You get no more. None of us do. None of us do. You can talk about it all you want. This is the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the time of truth. And all those who are telling truth, and even if they showing truth, you should have did it a long time ago, should have, could have, would have. Get it out now. Tell the truth. We're too damn lazy. Too busy wanting to be kings and queens. Too busy wanting to get that dollar that don't even exist no more. Too busy ignoring our kids being human trafficked to another country for whatever reason. You don't even know if the hamburger that you eating is not made out of flesh. You don't even know if you eating your own. They just realized that the water that you drinking has been transformed from the toilet. And I've been telling you and saying this for the longest. You get but so much time on this planet to keep playing this game. Game over. You can go to Hawaii and dig up all the land and be underground and think that you're going to hide. There's not going to be enough money on this planet if we don't learn to love and respect and do what the Lord says, period. Period. There's nothing else we need to do other than love one another and do the right thing by each other. Every preacher, every church that has hustled millions and millions, they're suffering. Because you've lied for many, 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 many years. Even the ones who were hustlers, Reverend Ike told the truth. All those who are playing a game and thinking that you going to win something in the end, the only thing you're going to win is a heavenly body, and know that the Lord is alive today. If you are breathing and something's happened good to you, or you've been through something, or you've seen somebody go through something, you best to recognize certain little tiny miracles, even having a meal. It's not even about the immigrants. It ain't about a color. It don't care what it is. This war is over. This slavery is done. You either want to be free or you want to be a slave. You either belong to man and Satan or you belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, and you got faith. And whatever we go through, we go through, and we go through it with love and prayer and unity. It's simple. It's not hard. Take it from an old hooker. Take it from a veteran who knew she was expendable and watched a lot of women of color, different races, get raped and muted by their own. Take it from somebody who's seen lynching at 3 years old. Take it from, I see a lot of seniors sleeping in the street, losing their apartments because they can't afford. Take it. There's a shortage of farmers of colors. We ain't supported them yet. We ain't bought no land yet. We haven't done anything yet, but we're running off at the mouth. I'm taking this so damn serious, you don't know. There's a lot of people I cut off, and God grant me my sight. There's not enough nothing on this planet for me to keep dealing with the garbage that's going on. You're about to lose your food. You're about to lose your homes. And it don't make a difference where you came from and what race you are. We can do it, and the word is so simple, and it's not so hard. It's not hard. It's called love. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. You can do it. It's not a sex thing. It's not a money thing. It has nothing to do with this planet. They're about to take you off the planet. Me included. They want space. They want domination. If it means using an H-bomb, you can't go but so high up. You don't see the buildings waving when there's too much of a storm, even in Manhattan. Are you blind? They written down on paper and said I was conditionally blind. But I can see. Stevie Wonder sees. The animals. Are you paying attention? Kids are ready to kill each other. Our own is selling their own by any means necessary. If you do another damn color purple, I'll kill you. If you go to another damn movie, if you contribute to anything that doesn't have anything to do with helping yourself and living a life that's going to be at peace, it's going to be a terrible thing. Nobody has to make a movie to tell you we going to hell. We in it. It don't mean that a person has to whoop your behind and shoot you 10 times to let you know that this is it. You're getting bad beef. You're not even getting real meat. You're not getting real nothing. In the years that we have contributed to this program, we shoulda, coulda, woulda. We got a chance. And I mean, it's like the slimmest chance, and it's so slim. But if you don't get yourself together and we don't start uniting and really put our mind to doing something, not just to help ourselves, but to help the people and help our people wake up. It's not our job to live their life. It's in the Bible. It's in the gospel. He is alive. Now, you may think I'm deranged and crazy or smoked up. Whatever you want to think, you go on. I'm sticking with him. I advise y'all to wake up and let's go get some land and start planting and start really storing and getting our act together. I advise that.
Start looking
at homes and start checking people. There's people coming out and telling the truth, and our children are suffering, and our seniors are suffering. They're suffering. There's people out here that are suffering. And this is not a joke. You may be in your homes, and we're doing this on the phone, but they're suffering outside, and it's getting worse. And this mayor done put us, you done went down the drain. There is nothing else. Nobody. You can't trust man. It's not a color. You can't trust man. You best to trust the Lord. It's always a white man. You brought more whites in here than a little bit. You fearful of your own, and you do them a whole lot. And the rest is like, what's wrong with you? The rest of us are in prayer, and you look at us because we haven't choked or blown something up or killed 50 million people. Like, well, what's wrong? No, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? People will ask you, where you been? Why I haven't seen you? Why I haven't seen you? Why aren't you doing something? You can't even take and speak your mind anymore. I spoke about black people and getting stuff. I'm black, really. What, we doing this personal thing now? You can't say nothing to black people about themselves? You can't let black people with money, without money, on the ground, hookers, preachers. We can't speak on how effed up we are. Well, we are. And I'm a black Indian, and I know we are. Start telling the truth. Don't be ashamed. And that way you'll be able to help other people. Because you'll see BS when it's coming. It'll walk up on you. It has a smell. It has a look. It has no love. And I love y'all. And I will feed y'all every year if I got some. But it's getting to the point, y'all better start feeding yourself. You better start loving and start pulling together as the group that we are. We've been together a long time. We need to start pulling together and start telling the truth and getting our stuff together.
My sister Carolyn.
Yes, love.
I must say with such passion and wisdom you have brought this message, and we just love it on a Sunday when we bring the truth. Indeed, I wanted to really, when you talk about don't give us another color purple, I am so happy that you strike upon that, because this color purple, as far as I understand, parents was walking out with their children, because for those of us who don't look deeper into things, a quick review of the color purple, they're really trying to push the gay agenda. So I know that big girl, she's really in the purple, pushing her agenda. We have seen the exposure. It's the year of exposure where things can no longer hide.
Amen.
Hollywood has always been a place where it has been, and it has corrupt many of our youth. And I like what you have said, my sister. The only solution really is love. That's the only true solution, is that if we are speaking truth. We cannot solve any other problem except we should love each other as we would like for one to love ourselves. Love thy neighbor as I love thyself. So I hear with such passion and poise that you have brought such a message to us on this wonderful Sunday evening. And nobody is going to sit here and say that you're crazy, because it's probably 2 crazies or 10 crazies. But when we speak the truth, we are often attacked for being whatever, and we are labeled. But we are never afraid to speak the truth, because the truth at some times is going to set us free, and at all times. So we don't have to swallow what anybody has believed, and we can express ourselves knowing that indeed a serious time has come. It's a spiritual warfare that we are going through.
Yes.
And right now, we got to hold on to spiritual things, the higher things of the Almighty Creator, and not study the things that are about to disappear from us. Of course, in a little while from now, and in this year itself, we are going to see some of the strangest things that has come about. And I'm just saying, please anoint your doors by April, because it's going to get really rough and bumpy. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a rough ride.
Yes. So
my sister, I hear you, and I feel for your passion, and you're really telling people, wake up. Don't just walk around with a title, I'm awoke. No, wake up and smell the coffee. See what's going on. And I like what you said. We have not even bought land yet. We have not even have a warehouse to even house 10 bottles of water. It's going to be serious. And we as a people, I don't know what else we can do, but we are having the teachings going on. But what else can we do as a people? There's one way. Unity is the only way we can build strength to come together for what is about to face us. So with such passion, I thank you, my sister. Let me just find out who else is in the studio audience. We'll bring you right back on to continue our conversation. Dr. Winborn, let me know who else is there as well. Well, it is radio time. We can't go too dead on the radio. So, and Dr. Robinson, my wonderful co-host, he's not able to see the board. But Dr. Winborn, are you there? Did you take a small coffee break?
Maybe.
Know who.
Ron Robinson?
No.
Dr. Ron, are you there?
No,
yeah,
I'm
there's
here.
Something
I'm
else.
Here.
There's something else you said in your conversation, too, I would like to ask.
No, sister said everything that summed it all up. You know what I'm saying? It's a ball of confusion, and that song used to be back years ago. There's so much going on. How do you keep up with it all? And it's coming in different phases. You know, you've been hit by all sides. But wherever you planted at, wherever you located, whatever the social condition is, you know, you get hit a little different than other people. And as you travel, you see that, you know, it's a common sickness or illness, or it's a common disease, or whatever you want to call it, the social conditioning is spreading all around. You can't put your finger on it all the time, you know, but it's right. You know, God put things. Sometimes God puts conditions into place. God made cold and hot, so you know the difference between the two. God made pain and joy, so you know the difference between the two. God made summer, winter, so you know the difference between the two. So, you know, conditions that we go through is to teach us the difference between getting and being able to survive, like most people think. You know, they do it individually, you know, me kind of concept, was that we had that me too movement, and, you know, that kind of thing. Or people do it cooperatively, all together, as a group. And so it's difficult because people are difficult, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot. I mean, I was telling Pat the other day, I said, you know, one thing when you're a parent, and if you have several children, you sort of learn about different characters, different types of people, you know, but you're bound to love them all, but you're dealing with different characters, different types of people. And if you have children in different age groups, then you're dealing with the different age groups, and you're dealing with the time. As time changes, you're dealing with the conditions that they're in right now, as opposed to you had older children as well, as well as you have children at the home and children leave and go, you know, on their own. But in that instance, as a parenting thing, you learn about dealing with a group of people with different personalities, different characters, and, you know, some of it you got to shake it off and keep it moving, and some of it you got to put your foot down and, you know, address the issue right then and right there, because certain things is to the point of self-destruction, and so you got to call it like it is. In the instance of protecting your child, helping your child, loving your child, that what they call that tough love, you have to do many, many things, you know, and you have to cry some time, laugh some time. It's just a variation of things, but you in that parenting process, you learn something about people and about issues and about that which you can do and that which you can't do. The Bible said there are certain things you can do and certain things will come by prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. God said, I gave you a spirit, but I gave you common sense.
Amen.
Why he gave us common sense? Because we're dealing with worldly things. We're dealing with human things. The spirit deals with the things beyond the man, the human being. The spirit can see things. It's like, you know, like that old saying that people only use 5%. The most smartest people in the world only use a maximum of 15% of their brain power. So there's like 85% unused. But when you get deeper into stuff and you start to look into stuff deeper if you can, you start to see it for what it is. And sometimes you can help folks, yes. Sometimes you can direct people and they'll listen. And sometimes, you know, even with, like I said, as a parent, sometimes you got to let them go and learn for themselves. It gets to a certain age that you can say all you want to say. You can dump, scream, holler, have a heart attack, whatever. Them children are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to do what they're going to do. You know, I had my younger son tell me one time, well, I want to experience life for myself, and I'm trying to tell the boy, I'm telling you something that you don't have to go through. I'm not saying not experience life. I'm not telling you just sit there and give up the whole damn life, but I'm telling you certain preventive things. Now, you can listen or you can go on, like
right.
Children. When they call, you say, don't touch that fire. Don't touch that stove. It's hot. And they say, hot? Hot? And as soon as you turn your back, you see them sneaking over there. And you, next thing you know, they don't touch it. You know, their curiosity got over them. They're going coming from. And that's how people are sometimes. Sometimes they got to get burned to know they touching fire, touching something hot. They're going coming from. We have an old saying down in South Carolina, I don't have to eat a whole hog to know I'm eating pork. That means you got to be a dummy to go to something several times and not know this stuff ain't good for you, whether it's alcohol, drugs, women, men, family, friends, whatever.
Okay.
When something ain't good, it ain't good. Dig where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So you live and learn that, like God says, certain things you can do and certain things, you know, we got to say in the church, let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things you got to let go.
Yeah.
You got to let it go. It's too much for you to handle, and it's causing you problems. But God says, my burden is light. Bring it unto me. Bring it to the throne of grace, because my burden is light. And that's something I learned as a minister coming up, when we try to save everybody and help everybody and do all this.
But you
can't. I learned that God takes over when man stops. When man can't do no more, God is taking over. And God is letting man know that, hey, you can't do no more. You done, like Carol said, you done everything you can done. Now you got to let go and let God, you know, because
that's it.
It's too much for you. You know, I used to hear my mother pray, Lord, it's too much for me. I'm putting it into your hands. And she let it go. My mother, some 40 years ago, was diagnosed with cancer. I think, I don't know, level 3 or whatever it was, but they said she wasn't going to live so long, and boom, boom, boom. And my mother told me, I was scared, and I was talking. My mother said, come here, let us pray. She and I prayed, and she said, listen, don't talk to me about no cancer no more. I don't want to hear it. It's over. I'm leaving to God's hands, and I'm leaving this hospital, and that's it. And I'm like, Mom,
and
you know,
that's
you
what it's about.
Dig it. And I'm saying, Mom, you need to do this, this, and this, and this, because I'm scared as hell, because they don't told me all the bad news. But God said there's two reports. God has a report, and man has a report. But I'm like, you know, concerned. And my mom told me, say, hey, it's over. We're going home. I don't want to hear it. I don't hear your father talk about it. I don't hear your brothers talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's over.
The father
and
has.
I ain't said nothing. Dig it. I ain't said nothing. And my mother died a couple of years ago at 101 years old.
Amen.
So I'm just saying, sometimes you got to let go and let God, because you don't do everything you can do. You know, like with your children, you get to the point, you got to say, God, protect them, take care of them, pray for them, and let go, because you don't do everything you can do to make them a man or a woman, whatever they supposed to be in this society. It's unfortunate. Our kids get wrapped up in things, and men, and this and that, and men will deceive you every time. The Bible says,
man,
on the armor flesh, will fail you, sometimes intentionally fail you, and sometimes unintentionally fail you. But the armor flesh will fail you, and that's all you're leaning on. I'm not saying you can't have a good friend or somebody who can support you, but if that's all you got, then you're gonna be a little shooken up. But you need something stronger than you.
Amen.
It, like Carol said, this world have shown us after all these years. You know, my dad used to say, a fool never learned from his mistakes. He told me, son, you can make mistakes. Everybody's going to make mistakes. Ain't nobody perfect. Everybody's going to make mistakes. Your mama made mistakes. I made mistakes.
Yeah.
He said, that's not my point. He said, my point is a fool don't learn from those mistakes. They keep repeating them because they don't learn nothing. And he said, don't be a fool. You make a mistake, learn from it, get up, go, keep going, and don't do that again. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so we have a lot of fools. We have a lot of fools in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
Either they were intentionally, you know, they have a saying in Jamaica, act fool to catch wise.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are acting stupid because they think they're being slick. But their stupidity is really their way of being slick. They want coming from, they know what they know, but to play, you know, like they say, play fool to catch wise. They acting stupid, so they try to slick, you, but they're really slicking themselves. Because their situation ain't getting no better, and they're still in the same predicament. I told a cat the other day, he crying about this and this and this and this and this. I said, hey, brother, you know something? I've told you about different ways to do something because I'm not going to keep carrying you. That's not my job. They where I'm coming from. I'm not your mama. I'm not your daddy, your sister, your brother, your wife, your nephew, your niece. I'm your friend. I can help you to a certain extent. I got my own problem, my own kids, my own this, my own that. I can help you to a certain extent. But, baby, if you going to get up and do nothing for yourself, you on your own. I ain't doing this for my children. I ain't carrying no dead weight. I don't do it for my children. And I'm not going to do it for nobody else. I'm not carrying dead weight. People have to be enthusiastic.
Yes.
You can take the horse. But you can't make them drink. You got to want to do something.
Yes, Lord.
If a person wants to do something, that person can be helped. My grandmama used to say, if you drowning and the man on the land, he ain't got a rope, a ladder, a nut to pull you in. All he's doing is talking nice to you. He's going to talk you to death. Because all he's going to be doing is talking, and he's going to be dying. You don't need that. And that's what people do. People take up a lot of time, like Carol said, with a lot of nonsense over the years, and sometimes you get overwhelmed with it and you get tired. You know, I'm tired because I don't see so much of it, but still I'm compassionate. God gives you a burden. He gives every man and woman. You could be a minister. You don't have to be a minister, whatever it is. But God gives you a burden for people. He gives you a burden for certain things, and he makes you compassionate about that. And so whatever it is, it keeps making you go back, and you say, wow, you know, this is getting crazy. I'm getting tired of this, and I'm keep going back to these same people, the same group, the same way, but blessing your mess. God can bless you in your mess. And he has put certain people in this world to carry on certain things, because if you're doing it that long and you got that much power, that means God has given you the ability. They say God will give you no ministry that he will not support you. So if you doing certain things in life, God has blessed you to do that, and that's your thing. You'll try to get other people to come, and they can't do it the right way, or they don't know how to do it, because you have been blessed to do that. God has given you the power, the spiritual power, the fruition, the intelligence, the understanding of that particular thing, and some people can touch people's lives and change it. And I've learned this in my life experience in ministry. Some people can help some people, and some people can help some people. It's not always a one person fit all. You know, some people can touch certain people, and other people can touch other people, and the whole thing comes together that you bring all of them together. The high, the low, the fat, the skinny, the ugly, the pretty, you know, everybody come together and have a common understanding. Like Carol said, the Bible said, either we're going to learn to live together as brothers and sisters or die separately as fools. Who in the hell want to die separately as a fool? We would prefer to be together.
Yes, Dr. Robinson, let me just interrupt you for a little second. Let me check in to see if Dr. Winborn, if he's up and about. Dr. Winborn, let me know if you're there. Dr. Winborn? All right, so I think Dr. Winborn has to leave us on our own for conversation. But Dr. Robinson, there's something that you said. I just want to backtrack a little bit. In the movie, Leave the World Behind, you said you were surprised that Obama movie, they had a script whereby the woman was saying, don't trust white people. What I noticed with that movie was so true to life. He had no choice but to bring in a part like that and run it exactly, because really, that young lady, her conversation was a reflection of conversations we would have in our private time. And Obama, he knows the both sides. He knows the black world and he knows the white world. So he is able to navigate throughout in conversation, because really, a lot of us in private conversation would say, remember, don't trust the white people, because we have had a history of what was done to us. And it's not to say we want to be disrespectful to white people, but there's enough reason for us not to be trustful to the majority of white people we meet, for we have had a history of trusting them once upon a time, and you see how well that turned out. So we know in our DNA, it's written, please, we have been down that road before. So just want to share with you, the movie was so truthful that he had no choice. Mm-hmm. So here we go, Dr. Robinson. I don't know who else is here with us.
I just want to say, as far as this movie, I've had more bad experiences with people, black people, and, you know, than I had with Hispanic, you know, and I mean people of color, you know, as far as, you know, robbery, you know, abuse, things of that sort. It's all kinds of stuff. And I've had a few white folks stand up and defend me and come to my rescue, whereas I would expect, you know, very few black people have when you're standing up or you're an activist. You know, if they are not, if you're not part of their clique, because that's, you know, that's their whole thing. If you don't know certain people, they don't surrender like that. And that's including West Indians and, you know, Islanders. You know, it's like if they don't know you or you're not part of their clique, then they don't, you know, they don't tend to, you know, unite like that. But I've had a few white people look out for me, and I'm not going to tell that. Say, and they're not, you know, they're European whites, but still they're white. And they came to live with their white counterparts. And I've had one old Jewish woman who was from the Holocaust stand up for me, and I was a child. And she stood against white folks and stood up and protected me. So I can't say. There's different parts like Brooklyn, Bronx, different areas. You find good people. But, you know, most of the time, yeah, white man is going to manipulate and do what he's been doing because that's how he was trained. And we was trained to do the opposite, and still we're trained by their slavery, and we do it to our own people. That's my issue. We see the slavery. We know where it comes from, but we don't stop it when we know that, you know, that this person is selling black kids for sex, you know, or you know that this person is selling kilos of cocaine. We don't jump to the rescue like white man tells on his own because somebody dropped a dime. We don't even have dime droppers. We don't have that unity. We don't want to. If we don't see it, we don't deal with it. Only if somebody else brings it up. Look at Cat Williams. He had to come out and finally tell the truth. Steve Harvey ain't never been who, you know, it's like, yo, there was so much jealousy with certain people and certain things that are coming out, especially now with, you know, things that are breaking up with corporations and writers. And, you know, it's that money is the root of all evil because they're breaking up friendships and contracts. Hollywood, black Hollywood is in trouble.
Well, you know, the whole Hollywood structure is in trouble because they control it. And just like you look at the Republican Party, they practically killing each other. They're coming against each other. They're telling on each other. They're doing all this stuff. But God let those things happen. God said what? He said, I'll make your enemy your footstool.
Amen.
Be still. I'm going to turn them around. And so sometimes I see people and, you know, and they do certain things. And there's a demonic evil spirit in people, black, white, yellow, green, orange. Because when you can, a man ran the other day and just shot into a car, and a little kid in the back, you know, got killed, 5-year-old boy, and I'm saying, you know, what kind of idiot, what kind of monster could you be, you know, a man and his daughter in South Carolina had a car accident. I don't know how this happened. So this sounds so crazy to me. The truck ended up like in a gas station. And him and his daughter froze to death. And I'm like, how the hell that happened? You know, what happened that you have a car accident, you know, no cops come, nobody come, and you end up, maybe they got, you know, they hit their head or something, they went out of consciousness, but they stood there. And how long it takes for a human being to freeze to death? They're going coming from. That means they must have been there for days. So what the hell's going on? You know what I'm saying? And there's all these strange things happening. But I'm saying that, and we don't understand why people say, you know, people act crazy in whatever they're doing, but you don't understand what could psychological, social condition, where they come from, what happened. They had a bad day, this and that, things, you know, going on with people's lives. It's falling apart, and they can't handle it. And so they decide they're going to take their life and every damn body around them. They're going to come in from. And we don't really know all of this. We don't understand. A lot of times when people are like in the, you know, you don't know. You don't know what the real deal is, you know. So it's a lot to it. But I mean,
yeah,
we are so we people are so in a needy manner right now. Everybody in financial need. Everybody trying to, you know, keep up with the Joneses, or they trying to keep themselves alive, or they trying to pay their bills, and it's getting harder and harder. It's getting to the point where get to the point where there's just so much stuff coming at you at one time, and you can't even examine it all. You can't like get it all in your head. You're trying to figure it all out. What's happening? What's going on? What's happening? You know what I'm saying? You can't.
And that's
you probably, can't,
let me just interrupt for a second. As you said something of a lot of strange things are happening. There's another topic I wish to touch upon as well. There's something happened in Las Vegas this week. I don't know if you all saw the news, where a young man was being sentenced by a judge, and he was not quite happy with the results, and he flew right
over
the banister and grabbed the judge. It was
not
so
funny.
The seriousness of it, but I had to laugh. I mean, so shall we see what's happening here, sister?
Security.
First of all, now 9 out of 10, they supposed to be in. Unless he came as a visit, but he looked like to me he had an orange suit. He had a jail suit on to me. So I don't know why he wasn't, you know, in the handcuffs and all that stuff. But you know. But you know, I would say that security was poor. They let him get over there as quick as he could. You know,
no,
what he had to do.
He flew over there. There was no way of stopping that guy. It took him 3 seconds, and he flew. He was in midair at one point. So if you saw that video, you know, he was in the air. He flew.
You'd be surprised. Yeah. You know, people at their wits end, people going crazy. They can't take
yes.
it. And that one thing that she did, the judge, just everything that he was going through, everything he was feeling, that last button was pushed, and he like, you know, fuck it. Excuse my friend.
Yes.
I'm going to beat somebody behind before I go spend my damn near my life in jail. I'm going somebody going down. And he tried to pretend himself, I'm gonna get her, you know. I'm just, you know. And those things happen. That's why you gotta be careful. The Bible says, be ye always prepared. You know, you can't just sit there and think, oh, I'm the judge and I'm gonna take. Because I see them judges. They be saying, sit down. I say, sit down. This is my court. You know, you don't know how people feel. You know, it could be your court. It could be your house. If somebody crazy, they're gonna come get you. Big one coming from? It doesn't matter. It's your court. You don't have no court, really. You know, you for a couple of hours, you're there. But I'm saying, you know, but that's the mentality of the court system. The judge is the king. The judge is the queen. Whatever they say, that what goes, and they feel they're untouchable. They put that black robe on, and they Jesus, you know, and so they have a certain mentality. And there's a lot of abuse, you know, and we've seen this now with all these men. Black men coming out of jail for 30 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever. They never did it. They were innocent from the giddy up. They were kids. They went in there, you know, and they lost their whole freaking life. You know what I'm saying? People get tired of that. Cats thinking about that. Dudes out there that going through this court thing, they thinking about, damn, you know, Joe went to jail. And even sometimes when you get caught up in something, you know, you say, damn, I hope I don't get in a situation where I get the wrong jury, the wrong judge, and get sentenced for all this time, and I ain't did nothing. You, as a black man, you know, you be thinking to yourself, like, you know, then it could happen. You know, somebody could say, oh, yeah, that's him. Like, many of people, just white people, say, oh, yeah, that's him. Black one, tall, you know, whatever. And every black one that's tall, your life is gone. You get where I'm coming from? So you think about those things. You know, so when you in court, you think about those things. And I don't know whether the brother did what he did. I don't know whether he committed the crime, whether he was, you know, the evidence or whatever, because it don't take much to me what I'm seeing now. It don't take much for them to just put a black man in jail. You know, a white man could. I saw a video the other day, and the guy was saying, look at this. The man got out of his car. He went up to the cop. white man. He said, I will beat your ass.
And he ain't did shit.
He ain't did nothing. He stopped running. The man started chasing him, a crazy ass man. He didn't pull out his gun. He didn't take out a stick. He didn't do jack nothing. That's what they, this is how they feel about themselves. This is how white men see white men. You understand? They're so beguiled by who they are that they can't even beat down a white man who's going to beat them down. You're going to beat me down, baby. I'm coming. They're where I'm coming from. You ain't coming. If you threaten me and you come with a, you know, like cats know, men know, when a cat come to you and he's angry, you check how his hands are. If he folds up his fist and he's in a position of defense, you know that this cat getting ready to do something. You know, my dad always say, look at a cat's eye and look at his hands, because the next thing you know, you're gonna get them hands. And be aware of that. When the cat comes to you, he's angry, he's arguing with you, just keep checking his eyes and his hands. And a lot of times you do that, you see. And after a while, after you get sucker punched so many times, you know, I told my sons, you learn. You learn that, okay, this cat getting ready to do something. You know, my brother next to me, he ain't never gave nobody, he got stabbed when he was young by a guy not paying attention. And so every time somebody look at him wrong, he just go and beat them down. And I'm saying, like, yo, you know, you had the whole school against us. I'm your brother, you know. I don't fight like you, you know. But that's the way he was, you know, his level of defense. If you came towards him wrong, he's like, yo, come near me, I'm busting your blah, blah, blah. And that's the way he was. If you looked at him wrong, because he ain't going to let that stab like he got before, he won't let nobody do it again. And so, you know, that's a level of defense that people develop in circumstances of life. You start to develop a defense mechanism. A woman who had bad men do whatever to her, abuse her, whatever, mentally, physically, however, she is not going to be open to relationships easily. She's going to have a defensive mechanism. She's going to be checking for certain things. You know, like you showed me that thing with the girl got beat down because she was hanging out with the cat. And she went.
She listened to herself, her conscience.
Right. She just overwhelmed. I told my daughters, don't be so overwhelmed for a good-looking guy. Some of them good-looking guys are the craziest ones, you know. But girls like, oh, he's cute, and he talks nice, and he's a nice guy. That's a whole bunch of bull. No. And it turns out to be a fool. My aunt came from South Carolina, came to Harlem, stayed with my mother and father. And she met this guy, and, you know, I guess he was cute. He was this. He was all that in a bag of chips. He took her to a party, and they were warlocks and witches. They had a plan to kill my aunt, sacrifice my aunt in some kind of ritual. Mm. And so he got with her, knowing that she's from South Carolina, know that she ain't hip like all the other girls, and, you know, told her we're going to this party. But lucky, thank God for South Carolina women, because all them daddies tell their girl, carry you a gun, put a gun in your purse. And that's something in South Carolina that is the norm. Well, back in the day, I'm sure it's different now. When I was growing up,
everybody got a gun now.
It was a norm that a girl would carry a gun in her purse. And if you got out of hand, or you know, boom, she ready to blow your brains out. So my aunt had that gun, and my aunt pulled out and said, "Yeah, y'all come towards me, I'll kill all of y'all." and she said they had robes on, black robes. Their face were covered in some kind of mask. It was like one of them horror movies, you know. But thank God for the 32 pearl handle white. I just teased my aunt. That's my mother's younger sister. She's still alive. I teased my aunt. I said, yeah. I said, thank God for that 32 pearl handle, right? She said, you're right. You know. And, you know, I mean, my daughters, I don't know whether they carry a gun or not. I didn't encourage them to carry a gun. But, you know, one thing I know that in New York, they tell their girls to have money. When you want to date, always have some money. Because if the dude don't want to take you home, or he gets to the point where he wants something for the ride coming from, you can jump in you a cab and come on home. So I know the girls in New York was always told to have money. The girls
well,
in South Carolina.
You sat on the porch with Clyde, and you wait, and you stayed there, and you had lunch, and you went home. And he sat in the living room with his double-barrel shotgun. And you could beg and cry and fall out. It could be 6 feet of snow. He could talk to you outside of the screen door. That's enough date. That's it.
Yeah.
We had fathers. That's the key word you're saying. But they don't have the family program. They broke the family down to nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember those
family.
When you say, oh, my God, I just wish it's get time to leave. I wish it's get time to leave. I get time because the father's sitting right there in the middle between y'all. And you're like, I wish I'd get time to leave, time to leave. Because the time, well, some fathers, when it's time to leave, they'll let her walk you to the porch. And so, you know, he's sitting on the couch. He can't see anything. You try to catch a little kiss or something, you know. But. Some of them say, you stay right here, gal. I'm going to walk him to the door. and so that's it. And I was so scared when I was young. But this old drunk man, he told my grandfather one time, right in front of me, in front of everybody, oh, he's trying to get my granddaughter drawers. Here's what he's trying to do. I said, oh, my God. I ain't trying to tell you, mister. I mean, I don't want you to tell the whole damn world. That's my secret and your secret.
We ain't got
and
no.
My grandfather looked at me and looked at the man, and my grandfather laughed and said, no, not my grandson, sir. You talking about somebody else, not him. I know it's not him. And I said, thank you, Jesus. My grandfather believes in me. He didn't know that I'm really I am him, but anyway, he believes. You know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
That was great.
If my grandfather didn't believe, Lord Jesus, when I got home, that would have been a beating that I never would sit down again. You know what I'm saying? But thank Lord he believed. I said, oh, God, this man is crazy. This man, I'm saying, you, well, back in South Carolina, you can't say nothing when you're an adult talking. But I wanted to say to the man, you don't know me. I don't know you. I ain't never seen you, you know. But I couldn't even say that. So it was just the man talking and blabbing on and drinking his corn liquor, you know. And so we got in the car, in the truck. My grandpa got me and said, you something else, ain't you, boy? I said, no, Grandpa. I don't even know nothing.
You don't speak English.
Hummer. I drive a Dutch. Yeah, you're like, yeah, I understand. Don't remember that down there to that damn man, but boy, I felt good. You're talking patois now. I understand the hell you're talking about. That's all right. Keep talking. You know. And your grandfather know the deal. They know what they've been through, you know.
Well, they don't have that today. They don't have no guidance. Most of them are in group homes, and they're running free, and they're running in groups, you know, and they decide who they want to take out and off the planet, and they decide who's going to eat, and they decide who can walk home safe without a problem, and who they're going to snap up if somebody gives them a problem. It's a lot to deal with, but we got prayer and we got Jesus, and, you know, that's all I can say is, like, find somewhere safe to live and move to that area, you know, if you can. I'm trying to see about some land upstate and grow something before it's all gone.
Well, that's so very important, sister, you know, in thinking of getting ourselves a little bit of food somewhere, somehow, to provide for what is coming down.
Amen.
We really ought to think about what we can do for ourselves. We won't be able to feed millions, but at least a few hundreds of us, if we know we could be self-sufficient in that sort of way.
Mm-hmm. That's what we should do.
Yeah, we definitely got to think of acquiring some sort of land and planting a few simple crops to know we have something happening. It's getting very serious, and we ought to think along those lines. I'm so happy we're having such a conversation. It's not a fantasy. As the months go by, we're going to see what's drawing closer, and we really ought to consider getting some sort of food or acquiring some sort of land in Africa where we can totally disappear. But right now we are here, and we got to see what we can do here and now.
That's the truth.
Yes. I don't know, I like how
Cat Williams is telling on people. Is this going to last forever?
Oh, well, I like what he definitely doing, because this is a time where exposure is very important, because T.D. Jakes has a ministry. He is a fake prophet, but what has happened, there are truly some of God's children who are in his ministry that are being fooled, and for too long, they are loving people who love the Almighty God, and they have leaders in these churches who are just pimping the gospel. So they need to get out of there, and the time has come where they are being removed. God himself is going to expose all these fake prophets and preachers, and this is the year for it. We're going to see T.D. Jakes coming down and a few others falling by the wayside as well. And it's about time, because they are fooling God's truly beloved children of Israel. These are leaders who are millionaires, billionaires, and what are they doing to God's truly elect? Because people who love the Lord know, well, we're going to fellowship, and they want to do right, but they have these fake leaders, so this is what's happening.
It's a shame, but I knew that was coming too, because they all backstabbing each other.
Yeah, that Jeffrey Epstein black book, they're getting ready to release that. They got so many people that you thought that was just, I mean, they start calling out names. I said, oh, not him. Huh. Not her. No.
Why, they called two names?
They can't call me because I was in Jamaica at the time, man. I missed that boat.
You can't.
But I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people back in the day, and I think you know this, Carol, people used to do a lot of, like, when you're doing when you kind of do business deals, there's a lot of you know, you have to do a lot of visiting people homes, and you know, you trying to close a deal, you trying to get a person to contract with you with a deal or be partner. You got to get to know the person. So they invite you to their home, and you know, they would invite you to their yacht and all these different things, and they would and they private jet and take you over to the island. I've been flown over to, you know, Barbados and Barbuda and all these different places with private jets, just trying to do business, you know. And so a lot of times I would say this, unless the person got on the island and started getting involved in activity, but a lot of times you don't know. Like the people say, oh, you know, they go to P. Diddy parties and this happened. A lot of times, a lot of these young guys and girls don't know what a party. They're so excited, you know, to be at a party, you know, of that magnitude. And so a lot of them don't know. A lot of them, you know, and Denzel said, they told Denzel, why you never go to P. Diddy's party? You and him come from Mount Vernon. He said, P. Diddy drugs people. I'm not going to please nobody drugging me. And that's why, you know, Samuel Jackson, Denzel Washington, a couple of them in that industry got clean backgrounds. You know what I'm saying? They ain't on no Epstein list, and they ain't doing all that craziness. They're smart.
Yeah.
You know? But that stuff comes to an end at some point. A lot of these kids are poor, and they need the money. And so they can get beguiled by the fame and the money, you know, and people can promise them stuff. People take advantage of them. People trying to say, oh, you know, R. Kelly, you know, those girls were going to do that anyway, but that's not the point. Even if that is the point, even if they were, he shouldn't. He's. I was telling a young guy, you know, well, you know, they're going to do it anyway. That's what they do. Blah blah blah. I said, well, that doesn't mean he have to get with them.
Right.
He had a wife. He had a beautiful wife.
He took advantage. Children.
Yeah, but I'm saying like this. You're rich. You got some kind of power, if you will. You got some kind of influence. You got a beautiful wife. You got kids. If you go out and do shit, excuse my friend, you go out and do shit like that, that means you don't give a damn about your wife, your kids. You don't care about what happens to them because they were affected. His children's affected. Their father is only knew as a molester, a rapist, or whatever, a pedophile. Those kids,
yep.
His children, his son said, I hate that motherfucker because I got to go to school and hear this shit.
That's right.
You know, kids, you know how kids be mean to each other, especially you rich. You know, his kids are rich, you know, because he got a lot of money. So his kids are rich. They go to private schools, whatever. But I'm just saying, you know, a lot of people are envious. Like T.I.'s son. T.I.'s son fighting in the bathroom at 10, 11 years old. I mean, really fighting. I mean, them kids in Georgia look like they try to kill each other. But, you know, but I'm saying he's 10, 11 years old. He fighting in the bathroom. Why? Because your daddy's famous and you need to act a little different. If your son is that bad, out of control, T.I., you need to sit him down, beat his ass, or get him straight, or you need to get him in private training or get him a tutor. Because the boy always fights. Anything around that boy fight. Even now he's fighting. You know, he's older now and doing his thing. And T.I. trying to say, you know, well, you know, he got to do this. He got to experience this and that. No, you have to take them cats under control, man. You know, because that kid get out there, he get himself killed. Because these people know, especially Georgia, they'll kill before God get the message, you know. So, but I'm saying we're in a time now where so much stuff going on and children are being the problem. The real problem is kids are being exposed to stuff that they should not be exposed because their little minds can't handle it. There's no damn reason in New York City that some transgender have to read to 3 and 4 and 5 year olds. There's no reason for that. It's confusing. I told my daughter, don't let my grandson go to no school where no transgender reading nothing. I don't care what they reading because it's all about them trying to make people sensitive to their cause, and then the transgender thing look like a woman talking about, oh, you know, I just agree to them and they're so wonderful and they love me and I love them. They don't know the hell you are. They're looking at you like you a Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or some crap. They don't know whether you a monkey or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I tell them that's a clown and with makeup, you know, and a dress.
Dr. Robinson, you're so very right, because unless we as parents, teachers, aunts, uncles put our foot down to let society know this agenda that you all are provoking to our young children starting at 3 years old, you're trying to catch them from kindergarten. We are not having it, because if parents remove their children from that thing called story time,
mm-hmm.
It cannot be allowed, because they're bringing the transgender in to sit down and read storybooks with your children starting from 3 years old, and you're bringing discomfort. So now a child seeing a man with beard and breath
and in high heels, they look at,
yes,
and come home, look at daddy, wondering what's wrong with you.
Exactly. So this is a confusion.
Like when these kids get exposed to, when my grandkids got exposed to, you know, Donnie has a mother and a mother, and Jerry has a father and a father. When these kids see another kid have the parent of the same sex, a lot of these, you know, gays or LGBTQ, whatever that letters, they can adopt children. So when they go to parent students or parent teachers or associations and things of this sort, and they go to parent day, you know, in certain high-class places in Connecticut, they got these two people together where the parent is a woman and a woman and a mother, and the kids are asking me, why do he have a mother and a mother? Because the kids want to find out, you know, how do they produce another child, you know what I'm saying? And so it's daunting and it's confusing for children. Children shouldn't have to be knowing that. I think, you know, children at that age, 3 and 4 years old, should be asking their parents, why my friend Jerry, he has a mommy and a mommy. or why my friend Teresa, she has a daddy and a daddy. That's just too much. We have to explain to little children, you know, well, this and this and what, you know, ain't nothing to say. I mean, what do you say? You know what I'm saying? What do you say? You know, it just doesn't. And then when the society's all screwed up, because the 1% who control everything, confusion is their babysitter for the world.
Well, truly, no, Dr. Robinson, you know, let me just interject here. For what shall we say? As we come closer and closer to the top of the hour, we have like 5 minutes left, so this conversation is really going to stretch into a really next issue and next show. For what for us to say, it's quite lengthy to determine whether the government and society is going to bring up our children or we're going to do it ourselves. So we really have the last say, because children have to grow up one day, and it is wonderful if we could spare them the ordeal and the trauma of knowing what sex is like at 3 years old. They do not need to know that. I'm happy I didn't know what sex was until I was 16. I'm happy I grew up in a still innocent time where I didn't want to be 9 years and know what sex was. I mean, that would have spoiled my whole childhood. I wouldn't even have fond memories right now, because I had all the rest of my life after 16 to grow up, you know, and know about everything else and too much of everything else. So I think we need to have that really fundamental issues within ourselves, our children, our society, our parents, sisters, brothers, understanding our children to be protected until at least about 12. You know, save them until about 12. One day they're going to be out there understanding sex, understanding male penis, woman vagina, breast, booty. But at 3 years old, let us enjoy the innocence. There's something called the innocence of childhood, which I strongly believe must be protected. After 12, 14, 15, okay. But from 3 years old to 12, we have to protect our children and put our feet down as to what they are being taught. So we cannot just go along to get along, because we are thinking of a poison that is going into children's mind at such an age where it is not appropriate. But what they are trying to do eventually, they have to add to the LGBTQ XYZ aspect community, they want to add pedophilia. So slowly they want to show children in a certain type of light. So they're exposing children right now and sexualizing our children, which is not something that is healthy. A child ought not to learn about adult behavior. That is why in many forms that you fill out, you see there's something called adult and children. It is two separate entities, two different kettle of fish. A child is a child, an adult is an adult. Even the good book tells us, when I was a child, I did childish things.
That's
and
right.
Now that I'm grown up, I have put away childish things. So
that's
we differentiate
right.
To know that there's something called a child and something called an adult. Thank you so much, my sister, because what we are seeing here is they are forcing agendas on us, and we are being so gullible. We just relax, and they're pushing it down our throat, spoonful at a time, and we are not saying anything. But we have to do something. We don't even have to say, because Lord knows you say the wrong word, you're going to jail with all this foolishness. But we have to take an action. My sister, I know I can't let you run in here with the conversation, because we have one more minute, my darling. I was so happy to have you sit and sup with us this evening.
Remember, you started late, so.
Yeah, we did start late, but I don't know if our lock off time is 9 o'clock still, because I know
yeah,
we are moving up to 9
that,
o'clock.
You got that extra, whatever it was, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, because you did
it. Do we have it, or do we have
just
9 o'clock is our lock off?
Yeah, because there's no way to, you know, it's 120 minutes. You can't cut off the 120 minutes. You have to use the 120 minutes.
All right.
The 120 minutes.
No. Okay, I was just thinking our schedule is open from 7 p.m. to 9, so now that we are reaching 9 o'clock, I'm thinking even if we had started late, if we will be, you know, saying our goodbyes because they will be knocking us off. So I don't know how the program quite run or if we have the 2-hour duration.
You don't know how it works, but it comes in intervals, 60, 120, XXX. That's it. So once you put the program on, you put the 120 minutes, it's going to run out totally 120 minutes.
Okay, so it's good to know we still have 20 minutes to be together so we could even talk about what is going on really concerning the agendas that they are pushing. We are seeing, as my sister, dear sister, said, concerning the last days, and we must hold fast to that which is true and that which is good. We are forced and being pushed hard into doing things which we know very well are not right. We did not grow up that way. We grew up with certain real high moral standards, and now we are forced to accept things which I would say will get destruction among a human society. We have seen in ancient times where two cities were destroyed for the very same behavior. But we are seeing here that spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah has returned to us. And it's not a case where they destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. They destroyed the people of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. But that spirit lived on, because how is it possible that we are back in the modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah? It's a case where are we able to see that this is greater than what we think it is, since the influence is so high and it's growing rapidly, almost like wildfire? I mean, men are wearing handbags and swinging their hips left to right. It's amazing. So join me and my sister or my brother in this conversation that we are doing here.
Well, it's about control. You got 1% of the people out of their damn mind, and they're controlling everything. And so whatever disrupts society, so that they can, the Bible, like God said, confusion, he's not in confusion, because confusion creates an environment of disillusion and discontentment and not moving forward. So the 1%ers that control all the wealth, that want to be in power and control the wealth, they keep creating all these delusions and all these confusions in the mainstream society. So people keep running after each other and fighting each other and going through all these changes while they continue to do what they do. So there's agenda there. I watched that hearing on the anti-Semitism, and I watched that it was very interesting to me how they worked, how that thing with President Gay of Harvard, how that whole thing played out. It first played out with they were going to pull back their money. The Jewish people said, you know what, if you don't get rid of her, we don't want her in there, we're going to pull our money back. They kept doing that. 700 people in the committee of the University of Harvard backed her. They couldn't use their money. They tried everything. All the big, rich Jews that gave so much money to Harvard, billions of dollars are being pulled back. They said, nah, she didn't do anything. We're not going to fire her. They did that. Then they went and they said, oh, plagiarism, plagiarism. She's plagiarizing. Now, after all these 30, 40 years, somebody's popping up and saying, yeah, she plagiarized my paper, and she never gave me the credit. Plagiarizing in a thesis or dissertation is basically saying that if you, Sadie, wrote a book and you had a quote in that book, God Bless America, whatever, and I wrote down God Bless America, and I didn't put in my thesis or my dissertation, written by Sadie Gomez, 1987, book, you know, the name of the book and all that. You got to make reference to where you get these quotes from. So she missed some references where she was writing, when she was writing, and everybody done that. Everybody. I didn't, all in my thesis, in my dissertation, I didn't write every damn person that said something that I used in dissertation. I quoted the person, and I put in there that I'm quoting blah, 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 blah. You know, because then if I put down, I'm quoting Sadie Gomez, then and you don't, and you didn't want your name in my writings, then you could sue me, whatever. So it's a complicated thing, all right? But I'm saying, they're saying plagiarizing, all these people popping up. Oh, yeah, she plagiarized me. She didn't give me credit. You know, and then trying to make a big deal out of that. Like, she plagiarized it. They got, like, 50 times she plagiarized on her thesis and her dissertation. Nobody's talking about the hard work that this woman put in over the years to be the best professor, the head of the law review of Harvard. That's not no white woman or black woman ever been that. This woman busts her behind. They don't give us nothing. They don't give a black person nothing. And the black people sitting back and saying, oh, well, you know, she's a part of the system. Bullshit. They don't give us nothing. They're not going to give you the same marks they give a white kid who do half the work that a black kid do. And my daddy told me I had to be twice as good as a white man. He was correct. Because in studying in universities and colleges in America, if you're not doing double the work, if you're not showing double the effort that a white person who does nothing, and we know this because we hang out with them, we know them, so I know when Johnny ain't doing his essays and he ain't submitting his homework, but his grandfather gave $1 million to the university or the college, and so he gets a break. He gets to graduate and whatever. A white man with no high school diploma makes $25,000 more than a black man with a bachelor's degree. So go. How did that happen? You understand what I'm saying? So nobody can tell me anybody who achieved anything in America, like it was just given to us. Like that old thing, that confirmative action was just letting black people just get into school. Bullshit. All it said was the qualified blacks who had been denied for hundreds of years to get into college and universities, Ivy League or whatever, now can get in based on a percentage. So if you have 10 whites, you need 2 blacks. If you have, you know, 8 Asians, you need 1 black. That's all they're saying. They wasn't saying that they're going to let people just get in. But a white man tells this narrative that, oh, you know, they're just letting black people in. That's bullshit. And people buy that. People come here and buy that crap. They buy that white supremacist bull crap because they just want to get an opportunity to get something. When people get greedy, they just go whatever who got the money, who they still got the money and the power. And so they buy into that bull crap, and then it's a downfall on all of us who worked hard to try to be somebody, to try to stand up, because whether people like it or not, if rich blacks are not in existence, there will be no rich blacks. If educated blacks are not in existence, there won't be no educated blacks. If gay is the Harvard a president, then the next child, black child, would be able to be a Harvard president as well. If somebody don't open the door, and I'm talking about America now. I don't know about Europe and other places. If somebody don't open up the door in America for certain things to happen, we would never have black cops, never have black doctors, black medical people, black train drivers, airplane pilots, nothing. If somebody didn't open up the door. So like I said, what I was going to allude to before about Clarence Thomas, I don't like his Supreme Court filings. I don't like his decisions. I don't like none of that. I don't like his behavior. But thank God he's there, because the next black child can see herself or himself in there and get in there and do a better job. Satandra Jackson, the new black lady there, Supreme Court Justice. Okay, she's there. She's doing a better job. She's representing and writings and stuff like that, and she's doing wonderful. But I'm saying, you know, thank God black faces are there, because if you ain't got no black faces, you'll never have a black face in anything. You got black people joining parliament now in England. You got Caribbean people, African people born in England. And in England, if you're not white, they call you an English subject. So you got English subjects, what they call them, black people who are joining parliament or becoming mayors of cities in England. That opens up doors for other people. So we have to recognize when somebody did something of a large proportion that helps us get into those. We have to be in those offices. We have to be sitting in those places, because we are not, we wouldn't have no representation at all. So we need board members of Harvard, Yale, Princeton, whatever university. We need parents in the PTAL and the PTL and all these other associations and all these groups and these things. And that's why when you have all this craziness going on, because the student parent association is not stepping up. Parents could have stepped up in New York and said, "Hell no, we would not send our kids to school. We'll quit if y'all don't stop having all these strange people come read to them, whatever." So I'm just saying, when people get together and stand up and get things done, but in order to understand what's going on, you have to have somebody inside. If ain't no black people inside, you ain't gonna know what's happening. As bad as Clarence Thomas is, you know, at least we know what's going on, because he's coming out all the time saying whatever, whatever. So, you know, writing books and talking and doing stuff, so we know how the Supreme Court is working for the good of us black people. You dig where I'm coming from? So we need black faces in all places. You know, that's the thing I'm trying to say.
But totally agree with you, Dr. Robinson, because that agenda with the Harvard president, they aim to destroy her. Because from the time she was not going pro-Israel, her problem started. And with everyone, we would see it happening. So it's only a case where they started with her. But what we are seeing happening today, even concerning from the United Nations, we are seeing certain countries that did not agree with Israel, the 15 countries that sat and did not agree, they were penalized in certain types of way also. So is democracy being played out? No. There's a name for that. That kind of bullying came about because of the great support Israel has with the United States government and, of course, with England, that power that they exude in among other people, where they can totally wipe out a nation while the whole world sit back and say, oh, well, it is ethnic cleansing going on at its highest, and who do not want to agree with it, they too shall be chastised. That's exactly what's happening. And as my dear sister said, we are in the last days.
The Jews knew when they got here to America, and they didn't want them. You know, much as they try to act like blah, 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 it was a black man, part of the UN, Ralph Bunche, that said, let the Jews in. He passed the legislation to get them in here. Okay, but they would never say that. They would never say that. And that's why I say African-Americans got to stop looking for their own self and stop trying to help everybody else, because ain't nobody going to help us when it comes to the final analysis. And so we're wasting our time. All we've done for them, and they started the NAACP and the little things they've done, they act like they did, like they saved us. They ain't saved us from nothing. We saved them more than they saved us. They didn't talk about, Jews don't talk about, and a lot of people don't talk about, the 116 African-American universities and colleges. People can't, when people were coming back to this country in the 50s and the 60s, I don't care where you came from, Africa, Caribbean, Europe, you could not go to a white man's college if you was an ethnic white person. Even a Jew could not go to white man college. An Italian,
a
German,
they
didn't let them go.
You
know what they did? They came to the black college and universities. They went there and got the education. But would they say anything about that now? No. That's why I said we have to protect the history. You can't sit down and say, oh, you know what, people don't like to hear that. You know, people tell me, oh, Ron, don't say that, you're going to get people upset. Well, if people get upset about the truth, that's their problem. The history is there for people to review it. They have the ability to, you can Google anything, actually. Anything. You go to Wikipedia and learn about history with Wikipedia. But anything I say, I can back it up with historical facts, okay? But I'm saying, if we're going to forget all of the things because we want to get with friends, with the white people, or we want to be a part of their little bull crap, which it ain't going to help you anyway. All they're going to do is use you because it came out, it's common sense things. Look at Biden. Biden was a good, the best friend with Don Sturman, which is he's a complete, out in the open KKK racist. I think he was the highest Mothic ruler of the KKK. Okay, sitting there in Congress, all right, for all them years, the man was demanding leave his until he died at 92 years old. Okay, that was Biden's best friend. Birds of a feather. I don't care what nobody say. Birds of a feather flock together. I mean, some people say, well, you know, he probably changed his mind. Ain't nothing changed his mind. He need black people to get votes and get stuff done. And so he pretend like all that, like he's all that in a bag of chips. But I know, because I know them crackers. I know how white man is. I'm just sorry. I know how they are when they got that mentality. A white man will do for you long as you, the good white liberals, long as you down and you begging and you need something, they'll help you. But as soon as you get up on your feet and you can be better than them, they ain't gonna like it. I don't care. That's one thing about white Americans. I'm not saying European whites. I don't know them. I don't know what they do, but I know that the American whites, as soon as you, and I've been there, done that. As soon as Ron Roberts, as long as I'm the employee, the worker, and you're the supervisor, it's fine. But as soon as I become the manager, and now you, I'm over you, now we got a problem. And that's the nice ones, okay? They don't come out and say anything bad to you, but they say enough for you to make you understand that they are not comfortable with your leadership. A white woman told me one time when I became the head of my department in the hospital, oh, blacks don't really, and she's a liberal. She loves black people. She got black people all over her damn wall. She got black friends and all this stuff. She told me, oh, black people don't have managerial skills. They can't supervise. I said, so what that means? How in the hell do you know, who are you sitting in this little cubicle, just sitting in this little corner?
It means you are not her boss.
Huh?
It means you are not her boss.
Yeah, and I'm telling her, like, who the hell are you? Where did you study this? What do you know? Shit. I'm a freaking. I just came out of the Department of Mental Health, running the Mental Health Department, and I decided to get the hell out of that because that was crazy to come over here in this emergency room and work here. So what are you talking about? I got 10 years your senior, ma'am. You just got here 3 years ago. You understand? And so this is the bull crap that. But see, they'll promote her with her ignorance and all her bullshit and not even having half the education that I have. They would promote her in a minute. Amarosa told a white woman on a television, I said, thank you, Jesus. She said, listen, honey, because she kind of talked down to her like she wasn't nobody. She ain't know nothing. Amarosa got a PhD in teachers in the university. She ain't no dummy. But this white woman kind of tell her she got all that because she just was eating Trump behind and she was just there just being friendly and sexy and all that. She said, listen, honey, let me tell you something. She said, I'm a black woman in America. I got to be twice as good as you. You can be mediocre and get any job you want. She said, I can't walk into an office or a job place or employment and be mediocre, be half-assed, and get any job. She said, but you can because you're white. Thank you. And that's true. That's the God-given truth.
Yeah, that's a permanent
any black figure. Man and black woman. I might not like every black man and every black woman, their behavior in certain positions or whatever, but I tell you this. I know they bust their behind to get where they at. I know ain't nobody said, oh, you're African American. Oh, love to have you. Oh, God, thank you. Then white people look at you like you a meal and a bunch of dogs in a goddamn backyard. Okay, they hate it. And when you start to supervise and when I started to supervise and I started to bring people up for insubordination or bring them up. Bring them up on violations of employee codes. The president of the hospital never entertained any of my documentation that I submitted, any of my complaints on subordination because how people treat me and how people act, you know. And so I brought them up on, you know, subordination, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying I never got the same thing as the other supervisors and managers got, the heads of departments. I didn't get the same kind of, support from the administration that they were getting back in those days, because they didn't want to say a black man, they're starting with a black man over a white man or a white woman. That's another thing you have to put up with when you're in positions like that. The white people will not want to let another white person know, I'm going to put you under violation. I'm going to suspend you. I'm going to do whatever, fire you, whatever it is, based on this black man's report. They might do it now, but when I was out there in the 70s and 80s, they were not listening to black people who they put. My thing is, why put me in the position? If you're not going to listen to it, and I told the president of the hospital, Bamberg, I told him, I said, listen, why put me in the position if you're not going to adhere to the things in which I do? Oh, we don't want to cause any kind of distress in the work environment. This is a hospital. We're like a family. We don't want to cause any disturbance in your employees. You want them happy. You don't want to kill the spirit of the employees. Well, damn it, how about my spirit? Okay? How about I have to put up with insubordination, people who have insubordination, people saying things to me, people I walk into the damn cafeteria and people saying nigga about me. How about that? I have to do all of that because they're white, and thank God I have businesses to fall back on, and I left and I never looked back again, and I said, hell with these people. I'm not working in this environment. I'm not working like this. It doesn't make no damn sense. I said, first of all, you're taking away my ability to function and do what I need to do. You take away my ability to do my job. It's like I'm coming here and I'm just sitting down at the desk with a suit and tie and a briefcase, just like a television movie to be filmed. But I don't have any capabilities to do anything that I'm supposed to do within in the range of my ability. But when there's a problem, y'all call me. When they got problems in personnel and departments, oh, they always point at me or Ron's department, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but of course my department is messed up because you're not giving me the ability to do what I need to do to administrate. You take away my ability to administrate and to supervise and to organize and to restructure. I ain't got no ability. I left the damn job. I left the job. People told me, oh, make a lot of money, man. You should just stay. No. I'm not staying no place. I don't care if it's $1 billion. I'm not going to stay no place. I'm being disrespected. And black people, I know it's hard on us, but we got to stop standing up and saying, I'm not taking this bullshit. I don't care if you got $1 billion. I'm not taking it. That's why, thank God, I started my businesses early and I had something to fall on. I don't have to be an employee slave in this America, because if they don't like something, they will fire you before God gets the message, or they'll put you on notice that if you don't say what they want you to say, do what they want you to do, they will get rid of you. Hated that. I hate it.
They put the words in your mouth and a gun to your head.
Yeah, I hate it to be in that position. I'm not saying I don't like authority. I don't like supervision or administration or management, whatever, over you. I just don't like to be in a position where people can abuse me and I have to keep my mouth shut, because at the end of the Friday, I get the paycheck and I got to take care of my family. I hated that. That's work. Like they call it. There's a website called Free the Slave. If you get a chance, go to that website, Free the Slave. They're trying to tell people. They explain about economic enslavement and employment enslavement of American people today. White, black, or indifference, we all enslaved to that job, that employment, that career, whatever it is. And this thing called Free the Slave, that website teaches you all about that. But I'm saying, it's a horrible position. That's why I don't understand some of these black people. You the damn judge, you the damn prosecutor, you the damn president, you all that, and you can't do nothing for your people. You can't stand up for that which is right to protect your people. Leave the damn job. I wouldn't have stayed you know, Obama's a better man than me. I wouldn't have stayed 8 years in that position under those conditions, knowing that I couldn't do nothing, couldn't say nothing, couldn't fight, couldn't turn back front or whatever. Maybe that's why I'm divorced. I just don't like to be tied down and tied, you know, and put in a position where you can't have a certain level of freedom, you know, and where I cannot function in my capacity. Knowing what my capacity is, once I know it, I know what I'm doing, I have experience, I've worked it over the years, I got the academic background to go with it, it's imperative that we stand up and be the man and the woman that God made us to be. And sometimes you have to step up and say, God, this is it. I ain't taking this no more. I'm putting it in your hands. I'm leaving this crap. And Lord, bless me with something else. You know, my mama say, when one door is closed, God open up another door. Maybe the other door is better than the one that you closed. You know, and so, you know, these are the things. But there comes a time, people, when black men and black women are going to have to stand up and be men and women, and we're going to have to try to give up this mental enslavement, like Bob Marley said, free yourself. Free yourself of mental slavery. One thing you can do, you're on that job, you can maneuver yourself without being from mental slavery, because you can subdue yourself into everything people say, yes, 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 thank you, master, thank you, master. No, it's going to be yes, yes, yes. Stand on your ground. You know, I'm not saying go get combative with your superiors, but stand on your ground, you know, because if you know what you're doing, if you work hard enough to get there and you work hard enough to be there and you know that you're right, you know, to a certain extent, you don't have to be combative with the person, but a certain extent, you can make it known that you know what you're doing and that, you know, you want to get that level of respect. You know what I'm saying? Because all we can do, like, Tatandra P. Henson. She says, you know, I'm getting to a certain age now. I'm leaving this soon, you know, whatever it is in the near future. I'm leaving this acting career.
Taraji,
right.
She's head up in the industry.
She said, I'm leaving. If I can't demand certain things or get certain things done, what am I leaving for the younger people? What kind of position they're going to come in? And that's what I'm saying about us being in all these places and making these changes, because these young people come up behind us. They need to be put in a position where they don't have to go through all this crap. You know, my grandparents and grandparents' parents and parents' parents, my mother and father, this thing, so me and my brothers don't have to go through certain things, you know, as much as possible. Certain things you can't avoid, but you can cushion yourself. You can cushion the fall. You know, you might not be able to overchange every single little thing, but there are certain things one can do to make the fall a little easier for oneself. And so as I look at this world and look at these conditions, I got to do my best. And I tell my children all the time, what did I do? I stood up and be a man. I stood up where I was a contributing factor to my people. A respectful position, you know, a position of honor, not a position of not no honor, but a image that can be emulated, or image that is reflective of a true man that's trying to do the right thing, that's a good example, a good role model, or whatever that is. You know, all of these singers and actors and sports people do all this crazy stuff, and they're trying to say, oh, I'm not a role model. No, but you can still stand up and be the best person that you can be. And the example that you set will talk for itself. You know, Kobe
That's
Bryant,
true.
He had kids. He had
Dr.
kids. Robinson, looking
we
at
are
him.
Really going to 9:29 now. I think we're going to probably shave enough to kind of reach our 2 hours. It's been, again, a wonderful Sunday evening. If we're going to extend and stretch, I'll let you continue our conversation, but so far it looks like we just have one more minute, whereby we want to thank all who came out tonight to support us on the Sadie Sunday. Of course, join us again next Sunday at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. If there's no technical difficulties, we start on time normally. You know, it's a one big family here, one big love. We thank each and everyone so very much for this 2 hours that we spend examining the truth, examining issues that have faced us during the week. We check out the news, but we bring the truth in this side of town where all the listeners come, they learn something, and they share with us. It's always been a wonderful 2 hours. If we still have time, we continue. But we had a late start, and we're trying to honor the fact that it's within 2 hours that we do carry on the show. And this time, we want to say our good night. But if we do have extra time, of course, we stay on a little longer. But often time is on Sundays at 7 p.m. to 9. This has just been a special Sunday where we were extended into half an hour since we had a late start due to some technical difficulties. Again, thanking Dr. Robinson, who's always been my wonderful co-host, Dr. Winborn, for his visionary, and for our sister Carolyn, who came on tonight to sup with us. Wonderful, wonderful message that you brought, my sister. Always such a great pleasure when we talk. And this Sunday has been a great one with a great message for all those who listen. And we would like to extend ourselves a little further. So here we are on Sundays saying good night.